on liners, the most right-winged bishop will be here shortly. And enter stage right.
Is there a USB port?
There is somewhere.
Yes, right here.
I thought there were some along the side, too.
Welcome, onliners, and welcome all in the house. You do a sound check for me, Johnny. I'll give you a minute to get up here after you're done. All right. Well.
Is that, could you see if that's on, Johnny?
Oh, this thing. I got it.
Thank you.
Don't have to fire me yet.
No audio. Might just be because
that's good.
I'm not talking.
Audio.
I had to get my coffee situation right.
Got my tea situation figured out.
That's good. That brown stuff.
Yeah.
All right. We'll give
you guys so ridiculous.
Accordionist. A moment to get settled in here.
Accordingly.
And
the
best undamned band in the land will be getting together this weekend. We're going to start getting the transition to the new hymn books.
Thank you. I probably should not do that at all.
Starting off with number 216, if that's not already up there.
There we are. You're going to turn your hymn books to 216.
Are they open?
We will get the new hymn books in here not too long, hopefully a week or two. We have some transitioning to do. How many, what are there, 20-some songs that we have in our praise book that are actually now going to be in the hymn book? So that'll give us more room to add to the praise book. They're only about $15 for a hardback, 700 songs, nice print, Bible Truth Hymnal. We're going to put a link on the website for those who want to buy a copy. We took a copy down for my mom for Mother's Day. If you have any fathers that you're buying for this year, that might be a good gift. You still got time to get it delivered. And we will get that taken care of soon as possible, really.
One was out of attention.
With that, let's sing. I got to find out an order here.
If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the
to
cheer and fill your heart with song. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Fear not when shadows on your pathway fall. Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. For my sin Him for rest, our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee.
Jesus said it and I know it is true.
Send your request in to bbfohio@protonmail.com, and we'll pray for those offline. Please, silence yourself in your ears. All right. No? Yeah, good. Did you get any? You don't want any? Everybody else get your coffee?
No.
You got tea.
Yeah, I got tea.
Got water.
It's Earl Grey.
Hot. But we don't care about that. You know I'm kidding. I like tea.
Are you sure?
Yeah, this tea coffee argument doesn't involve me. I believe in liberty. You're free to drink coffee or tea or drink nothing. You should stay hydrated, though, because we don't want to have to pick you up and carry you to the hospital.
Amen.
Stay hydrated.
Makes sense.
All right. Well, I guess Johnny did the sound check already. And camera zoomed. Go back and just look, make sure it's zoomed in. And we'll be in Micah chapter 7. Micah, look good? All right, thank you. I figured he did, but you never know. Things happen and people have to run out of the room. There we go. Micah 7, this is the last chapter in the book, but we'll come back to that after we ask you not to talk over me or video clips. Hold your questions and comments until the end of the current events update. And as we've been doing since October 7th, we're giving updates on Israel at war. Today's date, 5/15/24. Excuse me. Day 222, according to where you're at and your reckoning, because in Israel they start their days at sundown. We start ours at midnight. We're 7 hours different from them and so forth. But we'll call it day 222, 133 hostages, 36, I think, plus deceased of those 133 that remain. And the PR war continues. I don't know if you saw this, but they've been pressuring Netanyahu to give timelines and things like that. You know what? I don't understand why he, like others, don't just stand up and say, hey, the way you fight a war is not to tell the other side everything you're going to do.
Amen.
It just doesn't make sense.
Sound like her talkie about
your comments.
Yes. But an amen's all right, but you can close that door for me if you want. The propaganda war continues. And how many of you saw this? The UN has now just quietly said, well, actually, the casualties are half of what we've been saying. Half. I predict it'll be even less. Why? They're using numbers being given to them by Hamas. A bunch of lying murderers. Why would you believe the numbers that they're... It's just... And this was from the Jerusalem Post. This comes after months of accusations from leading statisticians that the numbers produced by the Gazan authorities, in other words, Hamas, cannot possibly be accurate. The Washington Institute for Near East Policy released a report in January that showed major discrepancies in the fatality reports. Even the reports they were getting showed discrepancies. Research concluded that such discrepancies were most likely caused by manipulation. Really?
Wow.
Hamas?
Imagine that.
But all major fake news networks continue to use Hamas figures. They may stop, but as of now, they're still using the inflated numbers. Why? Because it makes Israel look bad. That's why they're doing it. In Iran, anyone having contact with Zionist Jews or Christians are being rounded up, just like under Adolf Hitler. This lady, Lale Saati, a Christian citizen, detained in Iran's Evin prison, on charge of, quote, acting against national security through association with Zionist Christian organizations. In other words, if they were in any way associated with this church, they could get thrown in jail, in prison over there. We've got listeners in Iran. And she's being denied access to medical facilities and specialized examinations. That's just one of the examples. Here's another one. A video circulating on social media depicts Iran's so-called morality police. Can you say Orwell? That's always been a part of Islam. They brutally beat and arrest a woman for refusing to comply with the country's mandatory hijab laws. Because she's not wearing a hijab, then she's being accosted. They throw a blanket on her and toss her in the van, and who knows if anybody will ever see her again. Just for not wearing a hijab. Israel will never have peace with Islamists.
Amen.
Never. You know when Israel will finally have peace with them? When God kills them all.
Amen.
That's when it's going to happen. So all these, just think of the fools in America alone. But just think about all the fools in Great Britain and Europe, the United Kingdom, I should call it. In Europe, the fool called a pope, all calling on Israel to make peace with a religion that is sworn to their destruction. Sworn to destroy the state of Israel and to destroy all Jews. And you, by the way. Islam is sworn to the conquering of the entire earth when the whole world will come under the authority of Allah and their false prophet Muhammad. That is their religion, folks. If a Muslim says they don't believe in that, they're either lying to you, which is a religious practice, or they're not a real Muslim. That's the truth. You won't get that on your news at night, but in the meantime, we stand with Israel. Amen.
Amen.
Number two, just some random current events. We don't have time to go in depth in all these things. But how many of you know this is a report tonight? Jimmy Carter's grandson says the former president's life is coming to an end. They're expecting an announcement actually any time. So get used to, for the next probably week, any of the mainline news and all that will be all about Jimmy Carter. And they'll try to prop him up and make him to be some wonderful president, which compared to Joe Biden, they might have a case, but that makes him the second worst president in our history, right below Joe Biden. A lot of your foolish, ill-informed Christian relatives and friends might even tell you, well, he was a good Christian, he was born again. Just because you say I'm born again doesn't mean you're born again. Do you know that?
Yep.
He denied the biblical Jesus. He denies the biblical gospel. He believes in salvation by works. He does not believe Jesus when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jimmy thinks Jesus was a liar, but what he would tell you is he just doesn't think Jesus actually said that. He doesn't believe the Bible. Therefore, he's a Christian universalist. He believes all paths lead to God as long as you're a good, decent person. That's why he'd go out and, you know, build those houses out and open where everyone could see him. You know, there's nothing wrong with building houses and helping the poor, but you shouldn't be putting it on a big international show so everyone can applaud you and pat you on the back and talk about how wonderful you are, which is how Jimmy Carter did it. There are other Christians who are doing this work, and they're not out in front of the cameras and bragging about it, because that's how Jesus tells us to do it. And by the way, he was for murdering unborn children. He's for gun control and other Marxist ideas. He was anti-Israel and he's anti-Semitic. He's anti-Jew. He supports those who hate Israel. He's probably going to split hell wide open. Being a president does not make any difference in the eyes of God.
Amen.
And calling yourself born again doesn't do a thing unless you actually are born again. Speaking of stupid Democrats, an imam confirms my claim that liberals are nothing but useful idiots. Now, this would include progressive Republicans and other Green Party types and everything. But when it came to party politics, this imam will tell you why. This is why Muslims vote Democrat. This is a flashback. Imam Muhammad Tawhidi explains to Dinesh D'Souza that radical Muslims are always aligned and vote for the left because they think liberals are stupid. See, I tell you liberals are stupid and people say I'm mean. He says it and they're probably not, they won't dare call him mean. It's true. Whether people think I'm mean or not, I'm here to tell you the truth. This is...
When I was an extremist, Islamist, fundamentalist, I would only vote left.
Why is that?
I saw them as very stupid. I would fear the conservatives because they come with principle. That's not someone they can brainwash. But the left, I know they have no values and no principles to begin with. I dare you to find one Islamic extremist that votes for Donald Trump. Never do it. They'd give their vote to the leftist who wants to run around in pride parades. And Islamic extremists are against gays and homosexuals and transgenders, but they want the left to go and get busy with that. They want them, go speak about the climate, go speak about abortion, go kill yourselves, go do that. And Allah, she's fighting for abortion rights and all the other. My body, my choice. Yes, go do that. Go do it. But would she have an abortion? Never. Never. Would she kill a Muslim in her stomach? Never.
What is the fundamentalist and jihadi agenda for America?
The future of America has to be Muslim.
There you go. And you tell people that, and they're... it's not just the liberals that are stupid. It's all the people who won't believe you when you tell them this.
Yep, that's right.
This is something very interesting. The unveiling of the portrait of Prince Charles. How many of you have seen this? It's not Photoshop. Now, there's an Anglican minister named Calvin Robinson, and he says, I have seen Ghostbusters. I know how this ends. I thought that was the best response to that. And what I should have done is got a picture. You have this his face and hands just, you know, sea of red. But you remember Obama's portrait was all the green ivy, and then him sitting on a, was there a chair, I think he's just sitting on?
This, a bench or something.
Just something, there's something about this that has to have a connection to the pagan secret societies and all that. It has to be. We'll have to do a little more. It's more of a red, but it's kind of looks, kind of almost does have a hot pink look to it.
Yes.
But just crazy. And by the way, one more thing we got time for. The truth about these COVID vaccines continues to come out. I think I mentioned Sunday, the AstraZeneca, they're being pulling it off the market because there's so many people filing injuries and complaints about it. But this is Chris Cuomo, used to be on the Communist News Network, CNN. And he said, the first COVID vaccine lawsuit in America is underway. I spoke with Brian Dresen, who was part of the trial and is suing AstraZeneca. And I'm not going to play, it was a long clip, and he rambles, he always has, so I don't, I'm going to play a clip. But you just keep your eye on it now. They're admitting the masks didn't work. They're admitting that it was illegal to shut down churches and have the strip clubs open. They're admitting that the vaccines hurt people, but they're doing it in incremental, slow, progressive, with progressive tactics so that they will not have to come out and openly apologize and not have to pay big lawsuits when they can avoid it. But the question is, will it change anything? And the answer is no.
No,
it's not hard.
The next thing that comes along, you'll still have the same wicked people with the same stupid people obeying the wicked people. Mm-hmm. You watch. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, be informed, pray, and act accordingly. So, we have questions, comments, starting with Kim. I'm going to look into that, but I'm not exactly sure how this is, because, that was my understanding, too. I don't know if Congress may have changed the rules or something, because I think somebody said that it was because they didn't follow the rules, then they don't get the protections, and maybe that's why. But that's a good question we need to look into. I'm glad it's happening. But it'd be interesting to know why it's happened, Mark.
Well, you remember when Hamas or ISIS and Hamas and all that was still kicking around stuff in the Middle East. Trump said it all about dealing with them. He said they're nothing but rats, and the only way you have to deal with them is get rid of them.
Well, what I remember Trump saying, I don't remember that, but what I remember Trump saying is the only thing they understand is power. And he said, you just let them know. And he says, and I believe him, he says he talked to their leaders and said, listen, as long as you don't cause trouble, we're going to get along great. If you go over there blowing, trying to blow up Israel or blow up our people, I'm going to come after you and I'm going to get every one of you.
Yeah.
And that's why they didn't do it. And then he saw what they did to ISIS under Donald Trump. ISIS was completely dismantled and destroyed. And so, you know, you got a weak, senile, reprobate old man as a president. He's filling our military with sodomites and cross-dressing maniacs and all that. You're going to have war. I mean, that's weakness invites war. That's what, that was a Reagan doctrine. Peace through strength. Well, I don't remember any wars under Ronald Reagan. Do you, Nancy? Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, let's open with prayer and we'll get into our Bible study tonight. Brother Jim, will you open the Bible study prayer?
Lord Father, we ask your blessing over the service tonight. Thank you for what pastors prepare for us, Lord. Just ask for traveling mercies home, Lord, and for anyone still coming in. And even now, Lord, I pray that we're all opening our hearts and minds to receive from you. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. You got a quick one too many times there. Get your Bibles open to Micah 7 if you're not already.
You were mentioning Reagan. I think it's been 20 years ago
Has it been 20 years?
Yeah.
That just means we're getting old, Mark. We begin our study of Micah 7. He comes to the end of this book of prophecy with what John Wesley called the total corruption of the people. We already saw in chapter 6 a lot to do with those in seats of political power, those in religious power, all the corruption. Now we get down a little closer to home with the people. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. We'll read the odds, so go ahead and jump in with me in verse 1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the great gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Amen?
Amen.
So Micah describes societal corruption in Israel. First four verses deal with the general population, and 5 and 6 deal with family and friends. And then we come to verse 7 with the reassurance that God is faithful. So let's pick up there with the general population, beginning in verse 1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the great gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. So the fields are picked over and bare when it comes to God finding, or anyone finding God-fearing people. Yeah. How many of you are starting to feel that way here now?
Yeah.
Finding people who fear God and have agreement with you on even basic morals.
Yeah.
It's a whole other layer when you're trying to find somebody who believes the Bible is infallible and believes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then you go even to another level when you find somebody who believes the King James Bible and believes the literal approach to Scripture, including the rapture and supporting Israel. So, you know, that's where Micah was. We're told in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Amen.
That's a great memory verse. Great verse to meditate on, especially in the day when it's really becoming a stark contrast between Christians and the world, and yet among professing Christians, it's not a contrast the way it ought to be. It should be professing Christians and the world. But if you take a section here and a section here and say, this is the world and this is professing Christianity, you're down to about this when it comes to people who are really Bible believers and standing up for what is right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you go down to this church. We can go to the churches here and right in Worthington. Go to this Episcopal church. Go over to that Presbyterian church. Go down to this Methodist church. You go in there, they're not preaching the biblical gospel. Go down to that Lutheran church down the road, they're not preaching biblical morality. They have homosexual couples right in their pews holding hands and part of the church membership and in the church directories and called brother and sister with no repentance. They got people in there that are just drunks, whore bags, you name it, supporting abortion. Doesn't matter. They never hear their sin preached on. They never have to worry about repentance. They just, it's not true churches. False churches, John.
Yeah. In my devotions, I'm going through the book of Ezekiel. And I'm starting to count the amount of people that God considered righteous before Nebuchadnezzar came in and wiped them out. I know Jeremiah and his friend Baruch. Ezekiel. Daniel was there and his three friends. And that's all I can count so far. Seven. And the ark had eight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Only seven.
We're getting there.
That is great corruption.
Thankfully, well, the difference is we'd say percentages. While there's more people in numbers just in this room than on Noah's Ark, but around the country, around the world, we know there are still there's a remnant. But percentage of 7.8, almost 8 billion people on the planet now, the percentage is very, very low.
Yeah.
And we used to talk in the 80s, or when I say the 88, 89, and into the 90s, I remember the talk of how many people do you think would go in the rapture? People were saying, oh, I think it would be 50 million Americans, probably about 2 billion people around the world.
Yeah.
I don't think even a fourth of that right now. Just from what you just see.
And that's horrible.
Yeah, trying to be nice, I guess you'd say. Well, verse 2 says, the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. My note is, it's a dog-eat-dog world of self-esteem and self-interest. When men esteem themselves instead of death to self, and when all their thoughts are self-interest, then that's what you get. And that's what's not just being taught in our public schools. That's being taught in Christian curriculum. And one of our memory verses came to mind, Isaiah 57:1, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come.
Amen.
Amen.
Think of that. And it's like we've said, a lot of these good... That's Isaiah 57:1.
Thank you.
A lot of these good Christian leaders and good Christian people, they're dying off, and who's coming in to fill their shoes? And what is coming in to fill their shoes isn't cutting. Yeah, Doug?
Yeah, I'm thinking of that verse. I can't remember. It was Matthew. Something about that you die daily and then walk. You know, you have to die every day.
Yeah. It's well, Paul said, I die daily.
That's it. Yeah.
And then Jesus said we're to pick up our cross, take up our cross and follow him. Yeah, that's just not popular theology today.
No.
I'm sure that wasn't in Joel Osteen's Best Life Now book. Just what it says here, that they all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man and his brother with a net. Just so happens today, Slovakian Prime Minister Robert Fico was shot. He had injuries to his chest and head. The last we heard, he's in critical condition. He's president of
an
abdomen. Doesn't sound good. Why? Well, he just happens to have halted military aid to Ukraine in January. He recently pushed through plans to abolish their version of PBS in his country. And he's opposing Ukraine joining NATO.
Wow.
This is what happens when you resist the New World Order military-industrial complex. You get shot down. If you look at all the evidence, you'll see that had a lot, I believe, had a lot to do with why JFK was shot. I believe that's why Ronald Reagan was shot. And I don't think it had anything to do with somebody trying to impress a lesbian. Hinckley Jr. was supposed to have been shooting Reagan to impress a lesbian. Jodie Foster. I think it was because of both those men had policies against the Fed and against the military buildup in the United States of America. And JFK would have never got us into Vietnam, but after they killed him, LBJ got us into Vietnam.
He escalated the war.
And, well, that's what I'm saying. If JFK hadn't been shot, we never, that never would have happened. And then Ronald Reagan, if he had died when they shot him, they probably still would be a Soviet Union. So they also come after the little people. This was just yesterday. Pro-life activist Lauren Handy is going to serve 5 years in prison because she sat in a chair in front of an abortion clinic.
Oh, my.
Now, these people who are blocking traffic, these people burning down buildings and doing things, very few of them are even being charged. But this lady, and then you, of course some of you saw this, a 69-year-old cancer patient who's a grandmother, thrown in jail for January 6th for just walking around. That's all she did. That's the kind of things that happen when you're under apostasy in your nation and you have wicked leaders in politics and religion. Happened under Micah in Micah's day, and it's happening right now in our day. And it's happening all over the world. This is a report from CBN News. Worldwide persecution of Christians is the worst ever. Now rising in sub-Saharan Africa. There are more Christians killed last year than on record in any year in Christian history. And they don't care whether you call yourself a Catholic or a Coptic or an Orthodox or a Protestant or a Baptist or a Pentecostal or whatever it is. If you're a Christian, they'll come after you. But verse 3, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh and the judge asketh for a reward. They are willing to do your bidding as long as you'll pay them. It says, in the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. Look at this. Elise Stefanik released this statement last month, about 6 weeks ago. Democrat Manhattan Judge Juan Merchan. That's the guy who's presiding over the Trump trial, donated to Biden's campaign and another anti-Trump cause in 2020, has a clear judicial bias against President Trump. Merchant's adult daughter is a Democrat political operative who has financially benefited from her father's unprecedented trial of President Trump. She's already benefiting. When Trump raised this additional evidence of Judge Merchant's bias, of course, Merchant retaliated by expanding his unconstitutional gag order for Trump. The law and common sense absolutely requires Judge Merchant's recusal from President Trump's trial. We cannot allow biased, far-left activist judge to strip the American people of our constitutional right to select their own leaders. That's what's going on. It's corruption. And it's for financial gain. And The big problem isn't the leftists. It's that the professing church is so dead that they say nothing. That's the problem. It's just an amazing thing. Roger Stone and Laura Loomer put this stuff out. Of course, they attack them all the time too. Cory Booker, a Democrat senator, he was previously mayor of Newark, and he's a client of that judge's daughter.
Wow.
And he is funding money, flowing money to her. He arranged for the City Water Authority to pay his law firm $700,000. They turned right around and wrote a check for $700,000 to him, and he said, they're not, it's just coincidence.
That's crazy, man.
And then he pours money into Merchant's daughter's outfit. It's just layer upon layer upon layer of corruption. That's what he's talking about. The judge asketh for a reward. That's money.
Yep.
Judges are corrupt, paid off in times of apostasy, and the people will suffer for it. And it's right there in verse 3, happening during the time of Micah, and it's right here and now happening in our country.
That's right.
Big time.
That's right.
Jessica?
So, you say that churches are being silent.
Well, I'm talking, well, of course, everybody can write letters, make phone calls. You know, you can do all that. But I'm saying that churches have leaders, and most of those leaders are saying and doing nothing. They're not telling anybody this stuff's going on. They're not even warning their people. You're not getting the real news. When you're watching ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, and all that junk, you're not getting news. You're ignorant if that's your news sources. Here, I'm going to stand up here and at least tell you what I can tell you. That's not happening in any of the churches that are big timers, the big timers. You watch any of the, you know, the guys with their programs and everything, you won't see, they won't talk about it. Yeah, go ahead.
So you say, we should be writing letters and...
You can write letters to your congressman, you can write letters...
I don't even know what to write.
You don't have to say, just... You do too. You know what to say.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. You do.
What?
You can talk to Jimmy.
Just like you can argue with me. You can talk to me. Then you can talk to the people you want to talk to about this. You write them a letter and say, I don't like what's going on. That judge is a crook.
You can actually call them.
Yeah.
And talk to them.
Moses said the same thing. But, you know, God said, who made your mouth? You sure find a way to say a lot of other things. You don't have trouble voicing your speaking up when you don't like something or you do like something. So all you got to do is sit down a piece of paper and just, and you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a long thing. You just write a letter or type it and send it an email. You say, hey, this judge is a crook. Why aren't you doing something about it? That's about all I say to them. You can go on their social media and put it on there. You can send it to them. They go to the websites for the House of Representatives and Senate. Send them an email. It takes some time. Takes some effort. You know, that's all there is to it. But I'm talking mostly about the leaders. You know, the heads of the National Association of Evangelicals and, you know, these big organizations that do nothing, say nothing. And a lot of them are, like Christianity Today, and some of those are just gone. They're useless anyway. But as I said, it's happening then, it's happening now, Ecclesiastes 1:9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. So we're seeing it over and over. It's what happened with Noah, and it's what has happened in Micah's day, and it's happening when Jesus came, and it's happening when Jesus is going to return. So verse 4, the best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. You ever been around people like that? They're just always bad news. Or you get around them, you always find yourself in a mess. Or they're always nasty or trying to get something out of you. Or, you know, that's what this is talking about. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. So the end, that's what Micah is saying. Now shall be their perplexity. He's telling that if the time is at hand, God is going to do something, and you people, you wicked people, are not going to like it. And that's really, we want to preach the gospel. But you know, a lot of people we know have heard the gospel over and over, and they keep rejecting it. What do you do then? Then you just tell them the truth. Say, listen, I'm not happy that you're going to hell, but you're going to hell. Think of how we've been talked out of being honest. You've been told over and over never to tell somebody they're going to hell. Think how stupid that is. Yep. I was told, well, you don't tell anybody that. You're allowed to push them away.
They're already away.
Well, then Jesus was pushing people away because he said, repent or you will likewise perish. Now, I'm not saying the first time you meet somebody, you look at them and say, are you a Christian? No, well, you're going to hell. But I am saying that when you have preached the gospel and they reject it over and over, you tell them, say, listen, I love you, but you're going to hell. And I'm praying for you because I don't want you to go to hell.
Amen.
But your time is about up. You haven't been guaranteed another breath, another heartbeat, another moment. You know, get used to being alone, though, if you do that.
Yeah.
Sure. That's what Mike is saying here. We'll come back to that in just a second. But as in Israel, so it is in these last days. I just want to run this 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And I talked about the self-esteem and the self-interest and everything. What's it say, verse 2? Read that. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now stop there for just a second. Proud, right there in the middle of the verse. We're coming up on June. Pride month. Proud. You're going to have Christian, professing Christians, churches are going to fly rainbow flags. Yeah, they're not real Christians. They're fakes.
Liars.
But isn't it something that he starts right out with? The first thing he mentions is men will be lovers of their own selves.
Yep.
Then verse 3, what's the first three words?
Without natural affection.
That's homo. That's so-called gay love. But I think it's bigger than just that.
Yeah. Killing babies.
Killing your babies. A mother killing her own baby.
Yeah.
But also what I'm dealing with, three daughters who have no natural affection for their own family, including their own father.
Yeah.
How many children today are without natural affection for their own parents, their own grandparents, their own families.
Yeah.
Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. These people, they despise people like you.
Yep.
What's incontinent?
Incontinent, what she was
voting. Incontinent. Yeah, it's a lack of self-control, I believe, is what we would say, the words we would use.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny can look that up for a better definition of that. Traitors, heady. They think too much of their own opinion. Mm-hmm. They really think they're smart. And then it says next word, high-minded. And look again, what does it say? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And then he's not just talking about out in the world. Look what he says in verse 5. Read that. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's in churches among professing Christians. What incontinent?
Means this is Webster's 1828. A lack of restraint of the passions or appetites, free and uncontrolled indulgence of the passions, such as anger, a lack of restraint for sexual appetite. It's just really what you said. There's just
sort of like no self control.
No self control.
Yeah, no control of your own lusts and desires and that sort of thing. But there is still religion in the back of Micah. There's still religion going on. He's been talking about throughout here. They still have their temple, and they still have their priesthood. They still have their religious services. So what do we have today? Jesus, historic German church hosts worship service featuring Taylor Swift music. Texas church fires senior pastor after he's charged with possession of child porn. United Methodists lift bans on LGBTQ clergy and same-sex marriages. And I could go on and on and on. All the churches full of the devil. In times like these, you had better get used to being alone or at best in small company. If you're going to stand for the Lord, you're going to stand for Christ. It even includes friends and family. Look at verse 5. Trust ye not in a friend. Put that on a t-shirt and wear it. That's the Bible, folks. I'm not saying this. This is the Bible. Sure. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. I mean, that's talking about your wife or the lady you're shacked up with. Few can trust close friends or even spouses in such times. True. I have few pastor friends. Back in the early 90s, I had a lot more pastor friends. Today, I have very few. Because so few biblically faithful pastors remain.
Some of you bring politics into the church.
I want you to hear this again. This is an example of the guy that I just don't want anything to do with these people.
Some of you bring politics into the church. You think that politics is spiritual stuff. Politics is of this world. You think it's your duty to be political about this, that, and the other. No, your duty is to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Can you imagine going back in the 70s, 80s, 90s and having a legit, this is supposed to be a legit fundamental church, and have a preacher saying that? This type of idiocy is the reason America has been given over to Sodom and the baby killers.
Amen.
It's that guy right there multiplied by dozens in pulpits. And don't be fooled. Taking Jesus and God's people out of politics is Satanism.
Amen.
That man is preaching Satanism in a Baptist church, fundamental Baptist church.
Don't be talking to me about my spiritual responsibility to vote. I don't have a spiritual responsibility to vote. I have a civic privilege. Don't be telling me that voting is spiritual. See, that's what happens when you don't read and pray.
We'll come back to that in a minute. This is the typical rambling, pontificating in fundamental pulpits that do not teach the Bible but use the Bible to teach basically their own opinion.
Yep.
This is going on all over the country now. Don't be fooled. This isn't preaching. This is a clown putting on a show behind a pulpit.
Amen.
When you don't read and pray, you say, wow. There's a Bible out now that includes the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Isn't that wonderful? No. No, it's disgusting. It's blasphemous. It's a ploy. Are you kidding me? Some of you are so encouraged by that. Let me tell you something. The gospel is not an American gospel. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
See, this is how these guys do it. He's making a false argument. How is putting the Constitution and Declaration of Independence in the back of this Bible, how is that somehow refuting the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's not. His people who are, there's dumb sheep in there applauding him, are too stupid to hear the words he's saying to realize he's making a totally false argument. He's misrepresenting the people he's supposed to be arguing against. Nobody is doing anything to refute the gospel of Jesus Christ by putting a Constitution and Declaration of Independence in the back of a Bible. The Constitution is not inspired, but it is ordained of God. I'll get to it in a second. I think I got his name there. But the Constitution is not inspired, but is ordained of God. And placing it in the back of a Bible is not blasphemous. It's ordained of God. Why couldn't you put it in God's Word? Now, not in the text, but you put it in the back where you put other things like maps, man-made concordances, all kinds of things. But don't be fooled. Romans 13:1 says, "For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." The Constitution was brought into existence under the influence of this book.
But Pastor, I bought the Bible.
Yes, I did.
Really?
That's it right there.
You're telling me that you're encouraged because someone took a government U.S. Constitution, a document that says we are of the people, by the people, and for the people. The people, the people, the people. And you have put it right beside the Word of God.
No.
Which is eternal, unchanging, which says, of him, by him, through him, to him, from him, are all things. And you're going to put those together and be happy about it?
That verse he's misquoting is about how everything you do is by him, through him. And that includes voting. That includes your politics. The man has no sense whatsoever. He's a brain jackass is what he is.
I'm just about to say that.
This is tantamount to bearing false witness. No one is placing these, the Constitution, side by side with the Word of God. He's a liar and he's a false accuser just like Satan.
Amen.
Falsely accusing Christians like that. Think of that. It's just disgusting. Don't be fooled. Throw this bloviating ass in prison. And see how quickly he picks up a constitution and stops reading and praying.
Stop, just.
Well, he'd probably stop reading and praying altogether. He'd throw him in prison. But I do say just there.
Yeah.
Wait, I'll come back to the comments in just a second. I want you to keep the line of thought here. If you listen long enough, these hypocrites will expose themselves. Now listen to this. This tells you all you need to know.
I believe the Word of God is inerrant.
That sounds good.
Meaning, there are no errors in it.
Right?
None. In the original manuscripts, when the prophets wrote them, it was purely from God. There is no error in the Word of God.
Something doesn't exist in it.
But you have to understand that down through time, as they translated the Scriptures, things could have happened.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Misunderstandings with certain letters. Now, listen, I don't know how deep to get into this, and I'm not sure I can get out of it. I just want you to know the Bible is inerrant. I want you to know there are no contradictions, but there are various translations that would make skeptics say, uh-huh, see there. Various things would make them feel that the Bible is not accurate. So I'll say it like this. There are no errors. There seem to be some discrepancies in the translations.
But the discrepancies have nothing to do with salvation. See, any of those mistakes that were made by the translations or the copyists really don't matter at all, because they don't deal with our souls and our God's salvation. And you got to know, the Bible's been through all kinds of stuff. And you will see this in your footnotes, possibly in your Bible, especially if you have a study Bible.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
He's, among other things, he's opposed to putting the Constitution in the back of a Bible, but this hypocrite is okay with adding critical scholars' notes under the biblical text, casting doubt on God's words. Think of that. He's okay with a bunch of unbelieving scholars making you doubt God's word in the notes of your study Bible, but don't you dare put a God-ordained constitution in the back of that Bible. Listen, these men are blind leaders of the blind, and both fall into the ditch. But I'm going to tell you exactly why he's doing what he's doing. The love of money.
Amen.
That kind of preaching will bring in all the people who want some religion without having to worry about politics. Like abortion politics, gay marriage politics, gun control politics. They want to go to a church that's dead, but has a, you know, what's the right word there?
Feel good.
Semblance of life.
Yeah.
They look like a church, and it's real religious, and of course suits and ties, and all the women probably wearing dresses. And it was just, you can wear a dress and tie if you want, but that doesn't do anything for you in the eyes of God. Especially when your church is dead. That is the form of fundamentalist Laodiceanism right there. That's the Laodicean church in fundamental Baptist circles. Jill, do you want to say something?
I wanted to ask if he's a Calvinist.
He's not.
He's not?
No, I don't think so. No, there's a bunch of these guys that aren't Calvinists or anything. They're just, this is the verse that comes to mind, Psalm 12:1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. And that's what Micah is talking about here. And one last thing about Pastor Lauren is his name.
God forbid. Now, you can get mad if you want to. But I'm going to tell you something. If you glory in that kind of thing, you don't have a prayer life. If you glory in that kind of mess, political mess, you do not know what the Word of God says.
That sound familiar?
But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
That's the same spirit behind that. Biden and the Democrats try to intimidate minority voters and act like you're a traitor to your race if you don't vote for me. And this guy is using the same tactic to try to intimidate people rather than deal with the issues. When your argument is empty, you stoop to empty insults. And that's what you just saw from that fundamental preacher. Is if you don't agree with me and throw politics out, Jesus is not Lord of your politics, in other words, then you just don't have a prayer life and you don't understand the Bible. Real quick, Mark.
I also think what you said a little bit ago about holding to a form of godliness.
Yes. Yes. Lauren Livingston, senior pastor of Central Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. So real quick, let's close up. Verse 6, for the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. When apostasy sets in, many Christian parents find themselves shunned. And I've known more of this going on now than I ever witnessed in previous decades. And Jesus told us that if that choice is forced on us. You better choose Jesus rather than your own family. He said this in Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I'd love to reconcile with my girls. I'd love to see have them come in, but as Gary said, they have to come in repentance because I'm not coming their way. I'm not turning like Lot's wife towards Sodom and joining them. But if there's repentance, there'll be restoration, reconciliation. But not until then. I'd rather have Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what Micah ends with his statement there in verse 7. God is faithful. Read verse 7 with me. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. I have no desire to be all alone. I'm happy to be married to a wonderful Christian lady. I'm happy to have two boys who married two wonderful Christian women and they get raised in Christian families. And my mom, a brother and his family. I go on and on, my sister and her husband. Good Christian people. I love it. I'm thankful for Bible Believers Fellowship and be able to come a couple times a week and fellowship with believers and not have to worry about, you know, hearing you say something stupid, you know, like, oh, well, I think it's a woman's body. It's her choice. You know, that kind of stupid stuff. I don't have to worry about you talking about, oh, well, I think we need common sense kind of control, you know. I just don't think we need, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just nice, isn't it?
Amen.
But if it came down to it, is that enough that God is with you? What if you end up left alone with God? Something I don't want us to ever go through, but what if? I love Hebrews 13:5-6. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. That includes if you ever end up alone. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Live for God and for his reward. If there's people that come along with you for the journey, then praise God for it.
Amen.
If not, there's nothing to be crying about. You have Jesus. Amen. And what more do you need? Yep. You know, if you're going through life moping and like droopy all the time, there's something wrong with your perspective. Even if you're alone. But nobody in this room is alone that I know of. Or you wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You've got Christian family, and then a lot of you have blood relatives who are Christians, but some of you, even if you don't, God's given you a local church family. And then a lot of you don't take advantage of the onliners that you could, and so forth.
Yep.
But with that, we've got more than we deserve. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, yes.
One more time. We've got more than we deserve. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. And thank you that you bring folks in after a lot of them spend a day in working and probably tired. And thankful that they were able to make it and willing to struggle through the physical and mental weariness in order to spend some time together in your presence among your people in this building set apart for worship. We can sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We can study the Bible and fellowship and pray together. Such a blessing and eternal life to boot. Thank you for telling us so much about our future and telling us we can't even imagine what else you have in store for us, in mind for us. Father, thank you so much, and we know it's all because of Jesus. We thank you in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing if you can stand. Jenny Lee as the kid.
And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem.
Amen. Let's get the prayer requests, prayer cards gathered up. And onliners, we'll watch for yours at bbfohio@protonmail.com. Let's say goodbye to the onliners on three. One, two, three.
See you here, there, or in the air.